Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Radio Networks on Sunday, October 20th, 2013. It's episode 2 to the 10th, 1024. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Ting.com. Ting is a mobile phone service that makes sense. You'll save money with Ting. You only pay for what you use, and you don't need a contract. Ting also offers unlimited devices on a single pooled plan. To save $25 on your first Ting device, visit techguy.ting.com. And by RingCentral. We do everything in the cloud. That's why I love my cloud-based phone system from RingCentral. Zero startup costs, and RingCentral is $20 per month per user. Try it now with a 30-day risk-free trial, and when you buy one desk phone, you'll get a second phone free up to a total of 20 phones. Call 800-543-9980. Or visit ringcentral.com and use the promo code TWIT. Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time for the Tech Guy Show, our 1024th episode. Somebody says your gigabyte episode, or could you be your kilobyte episode? 1024 is a magic number. It's 2 to the 8th. So geeks like it. It's eight bits. don't mind me. Don't mind me. I'm just a little geek humor. That's all. This phone number 8888 Ask Leo. Very simple. No binary. Just 888-827-5536. It's toll free from anywhere in the U.S. You can ask your questions, make your comments, make your suggestions at that number. The phone ranger Heather Homan will take your call and direct you to the right first party, which is me, because there's no one else here. You can also visit our website, techguylabs.com. Get in there and participate in the chat as well. Click the link on the website. Is it 2 to the 10th? Sorry, not 2 to the 8th. Let's see, 2 to the 10th. So 2 to the 0th is 1. 2 to the 2th is 2. 4. 2 to the 1 is 2. 2 to the 2 is 4. 3 is 8. 4 is 16. 5 is 32. 6 is 64, 7 is 128, 8 is 256, yeah, you're right, 9 is 512, 10, 2 times 2, 10 times is 1024.
Oh, is that what we're doing?
Math is hard.
I'm so glad my mom's not listening at the moment, and I only know because I know where she's going.
Is she
today,
into math? Where's she going?
She's a math professor.
She's a professor of mathematics.
Yeah, and I'm
well.
A
of course, you hate
embarrassment.
Math. No, it's just normal. That's the way it is. My kids hate computers. 2 to the 10th. I got it wrong. 2 to the 8th is 256. 2 to the 10th. 2 times 2, 10 times. See, 2 squared is 2 to the 2th.
Is that a word?
No. Well, it's
like
a word.
It,
it's the wrong word.
Yeah.
Well, October 22nd, 10/22/2013, Tuesday, day after tomorrow. Wow, is it that soon? Is the new announcements for, I think, iPads. Apple's got an event. Invitations went out last Tuesday. Apple waits to the last minute. Send out invitations because they know the speculation will be crazy. It will probably be new iPads. Do you have an iPad, Heather Homan?
Mom does.
But okay. So do you want an iPad? Or you have any interest in that? No, not at all.
I'm kind of keep it simple. 2 devices.
You have a nice MacBook Air, which you just got.
Yeah.
So my kids don't want iPads either. I don't really, it's almost, when I say to them, I will get you an iPad, and they say, no, thanks. It, like, hurts me.
Aw. But they might be like me. They just want to be fast and furious, footloose
and fancy-free.
They
have laptops. They both have laptops.
I don't need more
They're both
more
in college.
Stuff.
They don't need, oh. I guess tablets, you don't need tablets in college so much.
Yeah.
Tablets, maybe tablets are like Facebook for the old people.
Mm.
They think Instagram is what the kids use, and Vine. And that's young people. They look at Facebook. They go, "No, I don't." I mean, they're on it, but it's Twitter, no interest. But they're on it also, but no interest. But Instagram, they love posting Instagram. It's kind of interesting to see. Anyway, the new iPad, there will be, you know, the way, it's so confusing, Apple. The nomenclature has been just iPad. But the problem is there are several of them, so it's very confusing. The current iPad is its fourth generation. So I call it, and those who kind of have to follow this call it iPad 4, not Apple, though. Apple's just the iPad. For a while, it was the new iPad. Now it's just iPad. What will they call the next one? Well, it's going to be fifth generation iPad, but I don't. They'll call it just iPad, probably. There's the iPad Mini. No idea what they're going to do with that. Some think strongly that they will do a Retina version, you know, a high-resolution display, which it sorely needs, in my opinion. But others, myself included, are skeptical, not sure. Hard to keep the price low at $329. Keep the battery life high at 10 hours when you put a high-res screen in that device. So we don't know. I don't know how they're going to do it. But, you know, Apple, they're good. They're good. It's what the real problem for Apple is at this point, so is the iPad, and it's pretty mature, and there's not a whole lot you can do to make it better. You could put, I guess, a better camera in there. You can't. I mean, that's about it, right? They're going to make it, from the rumors and the pictures we've seen, they're going to make it thinner, the bezel, that frame around the screen will be thinner. It's pretty big right now on the iPad. It was actually an interesting thing to do on the iPad Mini. They reduced the bezel, and everybody thought, well, this is an interesting thing to do, as I just said, because how do you hold it without touching the screen? And they had to put in software that said, detected false touches. The reason for the iPad having a big bezel, a big frame around it, is so that you have something to hold on to without touching the screen. But in order to get the mini, mini size, they had to reduce that frame. And I guess now that they figure out how to do it, they'll do it on the iPad fifth generation. So if you're looking, this is I'm holding up my iPad third generation, which is pretty much indistinguishable from the fourth generation. If you look at it, I guess you could see where they could shrink the frame by half and take an inch off in each dimension. They're going to make it thinner, apparently, more like an iPad mini. You know, this is all speculation. We'll find out 2 days from now. Blip in our chat room said stereo speakers. That'd be nice. It would be, wouldn't it? They've got the room for it, but they didn't do it. They only cut one side. A better camera. Right now it's a 5-megapixel camera. That's not even as, you know, I mean, they could make it better. What is it, 8 on the iPhone? They could put the fingerprint reader on it. And that would it'd be interesting to see if they do that or not. I don't know. We'll also finally. Oh, I like that. James in our chat room. He's a ham. VA3JPX says, "What if they? What if they put the speakers in the front?" Ooh, I like that. You know, the only company that does that right now is HTC with their HTC One phone. It has the speakers in the front. It's great. It's smart. It's obvious. Now you're looking at the phone. The music's coming straight at you, left and right. It's, I don't know. Yes, good idea, James. Remember that it's hard. It's giant. There's a lot of stuff that you jam in this little thin package. Maybe colors. You know, the invitation had a white Apple logo, because that's the white Apple logo. And the, you know how the little stem comes off the Apple? And then a bunch of other stems and other colors coming off. And it said, we have a lot more to cover. And the people, very literal-minded people, said, oh, that means color covers are coming. You don't have an announcement. You don't rent the beautiful Obra Buena Center in San Francisco for 1,000 close friends and journalists and announce covers. Yeah. So, but maybe they'll be color like they did with the iPhone 5C. Maybe they'll have color. That's kind of my thinking. Maybe that they won't be able to do Retina on the Mini. They've got to do something to the Mini to make it more palatable. Maybe put that in color. I don't know if they're going to do a fingerprint reader here. I don't know if they can get enough of them. One of the reasons I believe that the iPhone 5S is in short supply is because you know, you can't get one now for a few weeks is because they can't make them fast enough. Why can't they? Well, I would guess it's the newest component. Everything else they've been making and is part of the 5C for a year. So I'm thinking it's the fingerprint reader is hard to get. or me. What do you think? 8888 Ask Leo. We could talk about that. There will, there are some things we know there won't be. There will never be an NFC chip in there. Apple has clearly indicated no NFC. There will never be an SD card reader. No, Apple's clearly indicated it's not going to do that. A lot of the things other companies do, HDMI ports, no. Apple looks like wants to do something simple. That's the way. We'll find out day after tomorrow. We'll know. It's fun to speculate, but really, we can hold off 48 hours and find out. 8888 Ask Leo if you want to speculate. We talk about other things, too. Anything on the tech docket. Food for thought. You give us a ring. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number, 888-827-5536. See, that's something I was talking with Heather Hammer, who has decided that she's not an Android phone girl. She is an iPhone user. Died in the wool. I gave her the Nexus 4, which in my opinion is one of the best Android phones out there, the one sold by Google. No interest. She hates it. It's ugly yick. But you have a little brain damage because you're an iPhone user. Yeah. You think you have to have a proprietary charger because iPhones always do. And what's nice is everything but the iPhone uses this micro USB. And so I had a little brain damage because I said to you, oh, here, have the phone without giving you a charger, because I assumed, like everybody I know, that you have a million micro USB chargers. Of course you don't, because you have Apple stuff.
But may I add that I was in a newsroom several nights last week.
And you couldn't
Who has? No one had
They all had iPhones, huh?
They all had iPhones.
Wow.
I could not get a loan for some juice anywhere, so I just went to the Mission and bought a cheap one.
Well, here's the good news. Because it's not proprietary, you could get this micro USB cheaply. Because it's not owned by Apple. Apple charges people who want to make lightning chargers.
Oh,
it costs some money. They have to license it. I just got a new camera from Sony, and I was so pleased, a little point-and-shoot RX100. It is micro USB charging.
Nice. Okay.
I think everything will be there. And part of the reason it will be is because the European Union has required that all phones sold in the European Union. It's good to be the king, by the way. All phones sold in the European Union support micro USB. They all have to support this standard connector. That's the little thin USB connector you see on a lot of devices. So what does Apple do? They package an adapter in with their phone when they sell it in the European Union.
So you get both.
You get a rate. You have to have
a
lightning.
And you link them up.
Yeah, and then you just plug it in.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, well, Apple doesn't, but hey, just proves it'll work.
Them.
Who should I talk to first here?
Well, speaking of, someone needs help choosing between Apple and Windows, and that's Colby in Clinton.
Hello, Colby in Clinton, Massachusetts. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo.
Hey. What grade are you in, Colby?
Sixth grade.
Okay. And mom and dad or mom or dad are going to buy you a laptop?
Yeah, or a tablet. I'm like debating between Apple or Windows.
Boy, this is nice, and they're smart. I think this is the right time to get one. You're going into sixth grade, or you're going into seventh?
I'm going into seventh next year.
Next year. So you're in sixth right now. Yeah. So does the school have any choice?
No, we don't use iPads at our school.
This is not an easy choice, so you should look at what you're. I presume you're going to middle school next year. Is that right?
No, I'm actually in.
You're already in it, and so in the middle school, do they use computers at all?
Yes, we have HP Windows XP computers.
Oh my goodness, yeah, those are kind of old.
Core
so, and you're going to use this for homework, or what are you going to use this for?
As a tablet for schoolwork. Computer.
Yeah, here's the problem with a tablet in general is that you need a good keyboard for schoolwork, right? Because you're writing a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and typing on a tablet is an unhappy situation. Now, with the iPad, if you did choose Apple, you'd have to buy, for an additional $100 or so, a keyboard that would attach to it. There are some good choices. But the iPad's really not designed around typing. So the other tablet, I presume you're thinking about a Windows RT or a Surface, maybe, an RT tablet. Microsoft's coming up with new ones in 2 days, so you might want to wait and see what they do.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw you a curveball.
All right.
If you go to the Google Play Store, play.google.com, you'll see HP is now shipping a new Chromebook the HP Chromebook 11, which is $279, so it's cheap.
Yeah.
It's a real laptop. It has a keyboard and everything.
Yeah.
They're out of inventory already. Wow. They sold out. There'll be more, I'm sure, to come. The idea is it doesn't have much storage. Now, you may not like it because you can't play games on it so much.
I'm not a gamer.
Good man. But it's certainly good for schoolwork because it's basically a browser. You can use the Google Word Processor for text. You can use the Google Spreadsheet. You can use Google Presentation Manager. Now, if your school says, oh, you got to have PowerPoint, well, then you have to get a Windows device or a Macintosh. Does the school say?
The school doesn't care. The school.
Do teachers ever, like, say, oh, we want you to have this or that? They don't, huh?
No. The teachers, like, don't even want us to bring laptops to school.
Right on. Yeah, they don't want you sitting there with laptops open. You know, in the school my kids went to, the high school they went to, it was one of those one-to-one programs. Every kid got a laptop going in. And the teachers just had to learn to say, when the kid came in, close your laptop. You may not have your laptop open. Oh, okay. And they closed it. But it's funny that teachers don't, like, they say, just leave it at home. I don't know if that's as good an advice as just learning to say, close your laptop now. You need to pay attention up here.
Yeah.
I would say for you, it might be a Surface RT might be the best. It's about the same as a iPad plus keyboard. We're talking $500 for the Surface RT and then $129. Get the Type, not the Touch, the Type keyboard. There's a couple of options here. You could get one cheap now. Because they've discounted them down to, I think, $350, something like that, because they didn't sell very well. Or you could wait and see what Microsoft does on Tuesday when the new ones come out. So I would wait and see what they got Tuesday, and they'll probably be more powerful. They'll have better battery life and all of that. And since you're using XP at school, it's Windows. It comes with Microsoft Office, the full Office on it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's still a tablet, but you can attach a keyboard and get some work done. It's kind of the best. Right. It's kind of the best of both worlds. So unless you have a strong preference for an iPad, I think for recreational use, an iPad's great. I think for grown-ups who don't want a complicated computer, just want to get some email and maybe surf the web, an iPad's a great choice. But for a student, I think you might be better off getting a Windows RT. And I would get the Surface RT, which is from Microsoft, because they're pretty much the only ones still making them, and wait and see what they announce. They may announce some 8-inch ones, some little ones. That might be too small, though, for schoolwork. I think you should get the big one, the Surface RT. And if prices is an issue, then this is a good time to buy, because they're going to get smaller. One thing to remember, really important, Windows RT is not full Windows, not real Windows. It's Windows RT. And so if you get a Windows program, you say, oh, good, I can put Call of Duty on here or something. It won't work. You have to get Windows RT Metro programs only. I don't think that's so bad for a student. I think everything you need, you can probably get. So I think that's a good choice in this case. $319 at Amazon if you want to get the old one. Microsoft is in it. Everybody seems to agree now that this is the direction Microsoft's going, that RT is the future of Windows. What? Yes. Not Windows Pro. That's the old days. That's the past. Microsoft thinks, and I don't understand this completely, but they think everybody wants to use tablets. And so the future of Windows is tablet. Interesting. Interesting. 8888-ASK-LEO. Now all the Apple guys are getting mad at me in the chat room. So how could you recommend Windows? Well, for this particular use, a school with Windows, I think it's a good choice. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Scott's next in Springfield, Pennsylvania. Hi, Scott. Leo Laporte here.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Okay.
What can I do for you?
Now that you've hit a nice big round number, I just want to say congratulations on the 124th episode.
my 2 to the 10th episode. That's a big number, isn't it? 1,024. It's not even how many shows I've done. That's just since I became the tech guy in 2004. But I started doing computer talk radio in 1992, 21 years ago. I mean, I think actually 1991, 22 years ago. So it's probably a bigger number. It's two to the 20th. I don't know what it is. What
I'll
can
keep
I?
It up, please.
Thank you. I like what I'm doing. I'm lucky to be able to do it. What can I do for you?
That's all.
Oh, aren't you sweet? Well, thank you. How about Andrew in Indianapolis? Hi, Andrew. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hello.
Surprised, Andrew.
Yes.
Welcome.
Long time, first time.
Thank you.
Congrats on the 1024th episode.
Thank you. It's a number only a geek could love.
Yes. My sister and I are not much for coding, but I know that in hardware, when something gets old, you have to look at if it's better to repair it or replace it. We have a friend who has an ASP Classic website. And, yeah, it doesn't have a search feature, PayPal, any kind of social media integration. Should we try to cram these things in, or should we rewrite it, look into going...
Does he have hosting, or how does this site
work? Yes, they have hosting, and that's one of the reasons that we're looking into, maybe not going with ASP anymore, because the hosting is more expensive.
Right. So
Windows-based.
ASP is a Windows .NET hosting, and it's still supported. It's still around, but they do charge more for it because they have to run IIS, Microsoft's server. ASP stands for Active Server Pages, in case you're interested. A completely meaningless acronym. But I would say that, first of all, it depends how much investment in .NET he has. .NET's not dead. ASP's not dead. And if he's got a lot of custom code...
It's ASP Classic.
That's dead.
We haven't even moved to .NET yet.
That's dead. dear. Okay. Has he had a lot of custom code made for him?
No, not really.
So he's really just sitting on top of what they, was baked into ASP and that offers, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of places you could go that you could get the same functionality in a more modern site. One of our sponsors, for instance, I'll say this ahead of time. This is a sponsor, Squarespace.com. But I'll give you an example of how this is more modern. All the sites are mobile responsive, which means, in the days when, in 2002, when ASP Classic was created, the idea of a website working on a little screen and a big screen, nobody understood. What little screen you're talking about in 2002? Nowadays, at least half of his visitors are coming in on mobile. So he either has a separate mobile site, which is a lot to, or he's not good on mobile. So a modern web design and a modern web hosting service, he would have a what's called mobile responsive design, one site that resizes itself appropriately depending on the size of the screen. That's an example of some technology that has shifted considerably over the last just 2 or 3 years. I think he could probably do everything he's doing on somebody like Squarespace. Squarespace is the host plus the software. Does he pay somebody to maintain his site?
No, it's friends and family.
So he maintains it himself?
For the most part.
Yeah, I think Squarespace is a good choice. The Squarespace, you don't have to be a developer. You can customize the site. They make it very easy for you. And then they have very simple, easy ways to post the site either through the web. They have smart apps, smartphone apps that make it very easy to update the content, which is, of course, the main reason you'd have a website. I think if not Squarespace, I got to say Squarespace is a sponsor. So let me try to be objective and say, if not Squarespace, there are lots of other companies like that that do hosting plus software, and that's a better way to go. WordPress.com would be a good choice. I like Squarespace. I think you'd be happiest with something like Squarespace, frankly. Here's the deal. I'm bending over backwards because I don't want to make this just an unreserved plug, but it's hard not to because it really would be a good choice. If he goes there, he could click the Get Started button and can at least try what it would look like at no cost, no obligation. He's got 2 weeks. He doesn't even give him a credit card, so they don't even really know who he is. I would do that. Sit down with him, spend a minute or two. There's a learning curve. There's always going to be. But create a quick site and see if it does what you want. And it's going to give you a lot of the capability, I suspect. And you're using standards that are not proprietary. And this is kind of, to me, kind of important. Everything you're doing right now is Microsoft proprietary. Microsoft owns it. You have to use the Microsoft server. You have to use Microsoft technologies. You know, that's a good company. Nothing wrong with that. But it's one company. If you use web standards like HTML5, CSS, JavaScript, these are supported everywhere by everybody. It's kind of like the days when, and he may have done this, you create a website with Microsoft's front page. Made it very easy to do, right? But then when Microsoft killed front page, you were kind of out of luck because it was no easy migration and you were dependent on front page for a lot of your functionality. So I think it's nice to go to web standards. Squarespace would do that. I think WordPress.com would be another good choice. I don't think you should go to just a standard host. I think you want somebody who bundles hosting plus the content management system all together. It's a better way to go. You don't have to keep your software up to date. They do it for you. It's, in effect, a managed environment. All you really, if you have a website, unless you want to be a web expert, the best thing is for them to handle all that, all the technical stuff, and you be responsible for the content. It's enough responsibility just to keep the site up to date, put new content up, keep it fresh. That's enough work by itself. So my suggestion is it's really great to go somewhere that does all of that for you. That doesn't mean you don't have to learn a programming language. You don't have to learn weird, non-standard extensions. You just do it. Maybe somebody should tell the folks at healthcare.gov about Squarespace. Ephraim in Hollywood. Hello, Ephraim. Hi.
Yeah, hi. I have a question. By the way, yeah, congratulations. And you know the difference between the electrical and software engineers, the electrical things, there's a 1,000 bytes in a kilobyte, and the software things is like a 1,024
That's right.
grams in a kilogram.
Decimal versus binary. They'll never the twain shall meet. Yep.
Yeah. Anyways, question here. So I have a Samsung Galaxy S2 I bought, and I'm trying to make it work with the speakers in my car to make it like a hands-free.
Yeah.
And I use the jack, you know, the headphone jack.
Good.
And some kind of weird effect, like some sort of feedback going on that makes the volume go up and down on my end.
Are you, what are you plugging the headphone jack into? Does your car have a jack, or are you plugging into the cassette adapter? What are you doing?
Yeah, I have a cassette adapter.
So you have a cassette adapter, plugs into the phone, and you're getting volume variations. It may just be that you didn't get a great cassette adapter. You might go out and get a better one, and then maybe you're getting interference on the line. That would be my guess. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Let's actually, before we talk about the Epson, let's talk about Ting. How about Ting? Since you're talking about cell phones right now, in fact, this you should consider, Heather, because nobody likes their cell phone company, frankly. Ting takes Sprint service and resells it. And then on top of it puts really great service and really great policies. If you go to techguy.ting.com, you can find out more about it. The idea is that there are no BS mobile service. You don't have a contract with them. There are no early termination fees. In fact, if you have an early termination fee, you know that's like I have to pay $175. Actually, I think it's like $275 now to get out of Verizon. She's writing this down. I love it. they will actually rebate 25% of your early termination fee, up to $75 per device. When you purchase your device through Ting, port your number over, and then send them your final bill, they'll say, oh, good, here's a credit. You can find out more about that at ting.com/ETF. You will save money, and the best way to find out about this is to go to techguy.ting.com, click rates. Now, the way this works, they bill you at the end of the month, so you only pay for what you use, but just to get an idea of what it might cost, let's say nowadays, people don't talk so much anymore. Let's say 1,000 minutes is enough for you. By the way, this is great for a shared, like a family plan. In fact, let's really make this tough. let's say, 4 phones for a family plan or a small business, 1,000 shared minutes, 1,000 shared messages. We're going to give you lots of data, though, these days. Let's start with 3 gigs of data. The monthly charge for all 4 phones is $107 a month. Because, and you won't, and you may not even pay that much because you only pay for what you use. There's never a penalty for overage charges. If you use more than you thought, you just pay for what you use, you know, on a standard kind of linear scale. No add-on charges. You get voicemail, caller ID. You even get tethering and hotspot free. 3-way calling, call forwarding, all those features. No mysterious line items on your bill. Now, Ting works with many, many phones. Here's 2 ways you can do it. You can, if you're a Sprint customer, often bring your own device. You can buy a new device from Ting, but they also have used devices. So if you go to the device page, you'll see buy new, buy used, bring yours. You can even sell your old device and buy a new device at Ting. TechGuy.Ting.com. Great support at help.ting.com. Active customer forums. Of course, they support all the big phones. Now, remember, it's not subsidized, so you do pay a little more. Although, if you use TechGuy.Ting.com, you're going to save $25 on your first phone. See, they got all the good phones. TechGuy.Ting.com. Why should we put up with junky telephone service when there's Ting? TechGuy.Ting.com. You're going to love it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. You should stay. I mean, you know, you should stay. You shouldn't go. Just stay right here. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the number, 888-827-5536. The website, techguylabs.com. I know some hosts charge for the access to the website or the podcast. No, we do not. We have wonderful sponsors who foot the bill, so we can give you this all free. Techguylabs.com. You'll find notes from every show. You'll find audio and video from every show. You can go question by question. So if you hear a question, you go, oh, what did Leo say? You just go to that question. You can listen to the audio. You can watch the video. You can read the transcription. And you can even add your own comments if you think I'm wrong. I know. And I hope we'll get a lot of people talking about our first caller. And maybe he shouldn't get a Windows RT tablet. Maybe he should get XYZ. Put those in there, your thoughts. You know, no flaming, just say, you know, here's my reasoning. Here's what I think. We'd love that. TechGuyLabs.com. So, moving right along, Barbara in Norco, California is next. Hi, Barbara. Leo Laporte here.
Good morning, Leo.
Good morning, Barbara.
Hi. Got a problem. I have an old Gateway with XP Windows, and it died. So I'm looking for a new desktop computer, and I was wondering if you have any suggestions for me.
Sure. So you know what I say. We everybody says a dog years are 7 times human years. So a 5-year-old dog's 35. Computer years are 15 years for every human year.
Well, this is old.
Yeah. So that is like an 8-year-old computer, right?
Yeah, I got it. When I tried to reboot it and everything yesterday, the date that came up was 2004.
Yeah. So, okay. So it's 9 years old. So that's 135 years in human years. It's not surprising that it kind of gave up the ghost. We can do better. Those Gateways were not the best computers either. So we can do better. Are you sure, though? I got to ask you. Are you sure you want a desktop?
Yeah. What I do is my husband loves music, and he has all these records and everything, and I want to put music from his computer, you know, from his stereo system into the computer.
So you want to digitize them all so you can play them back.
Right, exactly.
What a great project.
Oh, it's wonderful. And it's doing pretty good with this old system, but then it starts slowing down.
Yeah.
And then something came up the other day it was a new program that wanted to install itself. And it says, if you don't want to install, put no. I put no. And it froze the computer.
It says, oh, no, you don't. Yes, you do want to install me.
I shut it off, put it back on. Same thing came up.
Yeah.
And then I was able to open one program. I figured, well, I'm going to do a run on a scan to see what's going on, what I picked up here. It stopped in the middle of the scan.
How is it fun for you to digitize those records? You must have to put them on the turntable.
Wonderful.
Doing that. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
And what software are you using to do that?
What software I was using, let's see what it's called. It's called Import Hotwire.
Okay. Import Hotwire. So you're going to get a Windows PC. It's going to be a bit of a change for you because Windows 8 looks a lot different than Windows
XP.
Right,
that's what I hear. No more tower or anything.
All right, Import Hotwire. So that's does that have some hardware? It sounds like it looks like it does.
Yes, yeah. Yes, it does.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at it now on Amazon. Record any audio you play on your stereo. All the necessary cables, and it's designed to go into a desktop computer. And then are you keeping it on the computer, or are you burning a disk with it?
I'm burning a disk so that we can play them in our vehicles.
Got it. So you want, yeah, you want, you probably do want a desktop. And you want a desktop with a CD burner.
Right.
I would say I would look at D-E-L-L, Dell.com.
Oh, back to Dell again.
Yeah, Dell's very, is this a Dell?
No,
it's a Gateway, you said. Yeah.
Before. This is my fourth or fifth computer.
I like Dell a lot. I think they're very reliable, very robust. Let me think of some other. Desktops are dying. You know that, right?
This is I know. But I'm 74 years old. I'm old.
Why not keep it, right?
Yeah.
I would say a Dell would be the best way to go. You could do this on a laptop, but why? I think you'd be fine. Go look at the Dell stuff. You don't need to get a high-end machine to do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Dell still sells Windows 7 if you really feel like you want something that looks more like XP. But
you said on Windows 7 that's really phasing out.
It is. It really, the future is now with Windows 8. And
right.
Like it or not, we kind of have to get used to it.
I was wondering, though, a lot of problems come up with Windows 8?
No, and this is the nice. This is one of the reasons you want to use the latest version. Is that Microsoft's gotten better at keeping these things reliable, keeping viruses off, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So you might look at a Dell all-in-one if you want to make it a little bit more modern looking. They have them. They kind of look like Macintoshes. You know, it's all-in-one thing. But they also have. They're a little more expensive. You might look at a Dell Inspiron. We're talking about maybe $500 or $600 here. You could probably use your existing monitor if you didn't want to buy a new monitor. You know, at that age, it probably is a glass CRT, isn't it? It's not a...
Yes.
Yeah, so let's get a flat panel monitor. So do get a monitor. You probably don't need more. Let's get 8 gigs of memory, okay?
Eight gigs.
You could get by with 4, but why not get 8? It's not much more expensive. And they do come with terabyte hard drives. That's a lot of space. You get all those records on there easily.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think a Dell Inspiron is probably a pretty good choice for you.
All right, I'll look around and see where I can find it. My husband says, go on a computer and look. I says, I can't get on a computer.
Oh, yeah, you can't, can you? Okay, well, then you're going to a big box store, something like that, probably, right?
Yes.
All right, well, then, yeah, we'll see what they have there. They'll also have HP there. They may have Lenovo's. The thing about big box stores is they're always... They're never the latest model, right? It's always the model that the manufacturer says, yeah, we kind of want to move these refrigerators.
Yeah.
So, but that's okay for you. I don't think that's the end of the world.
Yeah, my son has a Lenovo, and he's got a business that he uses it in, and he's pretty happy with that.
They're excellent.
And I never heard of it before.
Yeah, well, it's the old IBM ThinkPads. It was bought by a Chinese company. Lenovo's Chinese. I probably wouldn't get the low-end Lenovos, which is what you're looking at, low-end computers, because their low-end stuff is not as good. I would say stick with Dell. They'll have Dells there. If they don't, HP's fine, too.
Okay, great.
All right?
I sure appreciate your help, Leo.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling.
That's
a great project. I love that. Burning them to CDs. Now, I should explain, but I will in a second, what I said. PCs are dead. CDs are dead. Ripping records is dead. All of this stuff is ancient history. Bruce is in Canoga Park, California, our next caller. Hi, Bruce. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, my question is, I was trying to download the Windows 8.1 yesterday, and it was doing its business for a while, and then it says I need to uninstall an app called Asus A1 Charger Plus.
Okay.
It's an Asus computer.
Yeah.
And
so apparently Microsoft has decided or found out it's not compatible.
Okay, well, my question is, I don't even have a program called Asus Plus.
Great.
I have something called an A1 suite, and that's got...
It's part of the suite, probably, yeah.
But I was afraid to delete it, since it's an Asus computer.
Yeah, you don't need any of that stuff, and you probably have the disks that came with it. But I would hold off and wait until A1 gets updated, because that's... You do want to keep everything. You don't want to have to do that. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy, and this is the time when we get together. We talk about computers and the internet and cell phones and home theater. And coming up at 33 and a third after the hour, our digital photographer, Chris Marquardt, stops by. Well, he's going to do a little myth busting, but I also want to talk about a huge announcement that Sony made this week in digital photography that changes everything.
What?
Yeah, we'll talk about that in about half an hour. I did promise I would explain what I meant when I said PCs are dead and CDs are dead and DVDs are dead. They're not dead yet. You're sickly. They're not feeling well. And you know what? Record this and play it back in about 5 years and see if I'm right. Because I could be wrong. We're prognosticating. And there's many a slip twixt the gum and the lip or the cup and the lip or something. Things can change as people realize that maybe this wasn't such a good idea. But the best minds in the computer industry at Microsoft, Apple, and other places have decided that we are in the post-PC era. And they're backed up on this by sales, which are plummeting for computers and skyrocketing for tablets. Turns out people really want iPads and similar tablets, really don't want desktop computers anymore. Our caller of the last hour notwithstanding. And the idea of taking an LP, a vinyl LP, and burning it to a CD while appealing to some is really dying as well. Not dead. People still do it. Lots of them. Lots of you own PCs and are probably going, what is he talking about? I'm just talking about the future here. And this is why we're in this ugly adolescence with Windows. Microsoft has decided that it is no longer a computer company. In fact, they have announced that they are a devices and services company, that what they sell are not computers and computer operating systems, but devices and services. And to that end, they bought Nokia so they could sell Windows phones, and they started making, for the first time in their history, computers which are not really desktop computers. The Microsoft Surfaces are really tablets that have attachable keyboards. That should tell you something. There's a reason Microsoft spent billions of dollars on Nokia and risked losing all of their OEMs, the people who make Windows PCs, by making their own PCs. There's a reason they decided the future is in tablets, and that's what you're seeing with Windows 8 and Windows 8.1. You're seeing basically an ugly adolescence, a part of the transition from desktop computing to tablet computing. And it seems pretty clear, and all the evidence is that Microsoft really wants to sell, or believes that people want to buy, I should say. I don't know what they want to sell, but people want to buy tablets. So Windows 8 is really a hybrid operating system, half tablet, half desktop. It can't make up its mind. It has two different browsers, a tablet browser and a desktop browser. It has three different control panels. It is very schizophrenic, and that confuses people. And it should confuse you. It's an ugly adolescent. But the future, Microsoft seems to think, and the latest evidence is for Windows 9 or whatever they call it, the next version of Windows is, it will basically be Windows RT. That's the future. Not Windows Pro, not the desktop. Now, I know there's a lot of you going, but how am I, not including me, but how am I going to survive? What am I going to do? I don't know. Read my friend Mary Jo Foley, who writes the Microsoft blog for Ziff Davis and is one of the foremost Microsoft watchers at ZDNet, wrote, what comes next after Windows 8.1? This milestone leads many Microsoft watchers, partners, and customers to wonder, she writes, what will be coming next? Microsoft's not talking, but it doesn't mean things are at a standstill. Here's what I'm learning from my sources. This is Mary Jo, who has excellent sources inside Microsoft. She's talking about the future. In the fall of 2014, She said people have been saying there'll be a new version of Windows because they were going to go yearly. No. Nope. She says the next major release of Windows won't be till spring 2015, so we have some time. The major release will be a kind of hybrid that will bring the current Windows and Windows Phone operating systems closer together. That's right. If you thought it was bad now, in the spring of 2014, the unified Windows and Windows Phone store will debut. Right now, Microsoft, she says, has two ARM-based, that's the kind of processor, ARM-based operating systems, Windows Phone and Windows RT. The thinking is there'll be only one by 2015. And that one will win. It's Windows Phone OS. It wouldn't surprise me, she writes, if by 2015 Microsoft calls whatever is powering smartphones, phablets, tablets, and all the other versions of Windows will be essentially Windows Phone. Oh, golly. We're basically Microsoft's moving to the touch world. They're looking at the success Apple's had, not with Macintosh, but with iPhone and iPad. iPad runs essentially iPhone OS, right? And they're thinking that that is the writing on the wall for Windows 2, and that's where they're going. So desktops, not doesn't look so good right now. And physical media, well, you can see it's bye-bye. It's wonderful if you want to take those old LPs and convert them by dint of a lot of effort to CDs. But you know what everybody else is doing? They're getting subscriptions with Google Music or Amazon Music or Microsoft's Xbox Music or Spotify or RDO, and they're listening to it streaming. They don't even own it. They pay a monthly fee, and they can hear any music ever recorded as long as they keep paying that $10 a month every month on any device. All those beautiful classical records, just stream them. No physical media. Now, the advantage of that is it's everywhere. It's in your car, it's at work, it's at home, wherever you are. And people are saying, well, the quality is terrible. Yeah, but nobody knows that, just you. Everybody else says, no, that sounds good to me. We'll see what's, you know, Neil Young, the musician, is going to debut either late this year or early next year a new music system called Pono, P-O-N-O. If you go to My Pono, the name alone should tell you what a failure this is going to be, mypono.com, you can sign up for an update. The idea is it's very high-quality digitized music. I like the idea, and audiophiles will like the idea, too. It's not physical media, but it's not MP3s either. It's CD quality or better. Or better. High quality music. He says he's got all the music labels involved. It's Neil Young. He probably has some clout there. And it turns out most modern music is recorded at these higher bit rates. Better than CD quality. So there's no reason for them to, you know, now with bandwidth and storage kind of exploding in size and capability, there's no reason to have a constrained MP3, a highly compressed MP3. So we're talking 96 kilohertz, high bit rate, high quality music coming straight from the recording console to your ears. It's 124-bit, 192 hertz. I think that's what it is. 192 samples per second, each sample being 24 bits. That's a lot better than 128. 16, which is what CDs are. So streaming music is not physical medium. I think movies, it's going to happen too, but it's going to be a little slower because they're so big. And desktop computing, I don't see a bright future for it. Somebody's going to still need them. Video editors, programmers, I guess. It's going to be a specialty product. It's not going to be a mainstream product. And the price will match. You know what? Watch carefully how much Apple charges on its Mac Pro. It's going to announce that on Tuesday. That'll give you an idea of the future of desktop computing and how much it's going to cost. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Our show today brought to you, our podcast, I should say, today brought to you by RingCentral.com. I'm a big RingCentral fan. That's what we use. That's our phone system here at the Brick House. And thank goodness we found it because I was about ready to go to the phone company for our phones. You know, in the old studio, the cottage, I'm I'm ashamed to say this. I made my employees use their own cell phones. They didn't seem to mind, but I realize as we grow, as we become a real business, we have 25 employees now, we kind of have to have a real phone system. I didn't want to go to AT&T and get a PBX. I didn't want the management hassle. The technology seemed old and out of date. Fortunately, Russell, our IT guy, said, I've installed Ring Central in many clients, and they love it. Would you like to try it? And see, here's the advantage. You get all of the advantages of a real phone system, but it makes my staff happy because they could still use their smartphone. We pay for the call. They use the Ring Central app. It appears to be coming from our 800 number. They can send and receive texts from our business number. That is really awesome. And Ring Central is as little as $20 per month per user. With lots of long-distance minutes, you get faxes in your inbox. You get voicemail in your inbox. Total control. We got a great phone tree and a directory and all of that. It really is, you know, because you're in the cloud, because you're digital, it's the number one cloud-based phone system. Because you're digital, you really have total control over this. And our call handling is fabulous. I love this. Our producers really like getting voicemail in the email. They haven't given up the capabilities of the smartphone, but now it's a business phone for them. Also, send and receive faxes from the email, from the PC, from your smartphone or tablet. New faxes arrive in your email inbox, so, you know, they don't ever have to miss anything. You could preview and print faxes, design cover sheets, even sign faxes right from your computer electronically. You never have to use a fax machine again. I mean, I can go on and on. I would recommend you visit ringcentral.com. If you decide to buy, use our promo code TWIT or call a special number just for TWIT listeners. Podcast listeners, 800-543-9980, and you could start with a 30-day risk-free trial and our special offer. When you buy a desk phone, you'll get a second phone free up to a total of 20 phones. We use the Polycom conferencing system. We use Polycom desk phones. It's great. It's just like a real phone system. It is a real phone system. It's just better. 800-543-9980, or visit ringcentral.com and use our promo code TWIT. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Thanks for the correction. You're absolutely right. CD quality is 44.1 cycles per second or samples per second at 16 bits, right? 44.116. And the Pono, this new Neil Young thing, I think is 192 instead of 44, 192 samples per second at 24-bit. Lots better. And the point that they make at Pono is this music was maybe even not, probably not the Beach Boys' Good Vibrations. No, that was analog recording. But since we've started recording in digital, a lot of it is recorded at much higher quality than the eventual CD. 44,100 samples per second. Kilo samples. Thank you. Math is hard. Nathan in San Pedro, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, Nathan.
Hi, Leo. Thank you so much for taking my call.
My pleasure. What can I do for you?
I have a small family-owned business. I have a problem with a website. I had a website through a guy from our church found something for me and tried to host it. And it disappeared. My hosting part went disappeared. My domain name was stolen.
I hear this story so often.
Right. Now I'm going through the register.com. They're just so much to run around. They try. Right. They revise themselves to web.com. Every time I call, I get so many customer service that
there is a process for reclaiming a .com domain name. That involves proving who you are, et cetera, et cetera. It's not easy. It's non-trivial. Probably always a good idea for people to learn from your unfortunate situation. If you want to register a domain name, do it yourself. It's easy, and you own it.
Okay.
Yeah. But here's what I would do. So you need hosting?
Right now I'm a basic in point A now. Again, I'm trying to find something that I can do it myself. I purchased
a Microsoft. Stop. Don't do it yourself, for one thing. Unless you want to become a web... Is it your goal in life to become a web designer?
No, not at all. My business
you just want to do your business, right?
Exactly.
Just go to squarespace.com.
Okay, that's what I heard from the other people.
Yeah, they have commerce. It's $24 a month when you sign up for a year. It's cheap. You own it all. It's all in a format you can easily get, export, and own. They will. I think they'll even help you get that domain name back. Let them ask them. Can you help me get this back?
Okay.
They will set you up. If you don't already have, you probably already have a merchant account. If you don't, they will set you up with a merchant account.
I have all that.
Okay.
Yeah,
so then it's very straightforward, and I think that you totally should do this.
Okay.
Do not. You can go to. So there's. People get bit by this a lot. There's different kinds of hosting. There are companies that will rent you a server. This is what we do. If you're a pro and you want to pay professional engineers to manage it and administer the system and stuff, we need to do that because we're, we broadcast on the internet. It's kind of our business. I wouldn't recommend it because it's very, very, very expensive. But if you, so there's that level. There's different levels. The most basic level, in fact, let me go through this real quickly. The ladder of hosting. You could, in your basement, have computers. A web host is just a computer. A server is a regular computer running some special software. That's all. You'd, of course, have to work out the internet connection and make sure that the upstream, the connection out of your building, is fast enough to support all of your users. Most, certainly no standard business account is fast enough. Even here at our studios, we don't do that. We don't have our servers in the basement. And we spend, $8,000 a month on internet access. We have fiber coming into this building. We have 150 megabits per second up and down, and that's not nearly enough to serve our customers. It's just enough for us to upload the files so that our hosting companies can do it. See, hosting companies buy a lot more bandwidth. So the worst thing you can do, or the most complicated thing you can do, is run your own servers out of your basement. And I don't recommend that unless you really know what you're doing. And Facebook doesn't do it. Google doesn't do it. Nobody does it. The next thing would be to have what's called a colo, where you rent space in a rack at a network operations center, where they have lots of bandwidth, they have cooling, they have fire suppression, they have redundant power. All of that's all the stuff that you would want for a web server so it doesn't stop running. Colo or co-location means you buy the hardware, you put it in that rack, you maintain it. It's pretty close to having it in your basement. It's just at a network operations center, so it's at a better place. The next step up from that is to, and this is what we do, rent their hardware in their rack at a network operations center. We use a company called SoftLayer, but that means I have to have sysadmins to manage it, to manage its security. We're responsible for that. We're responsible for all that stuff. And it's expensive. But it's something sometimes you have to do. If you're Google or Facebook, you kind of have to do, something like that too. You have to have your own servers. The next step up from that is shared hosting, and this is probably what you had, which is you rent some space on an existing server. Now, unfortunately, what happens here, companies like HostGator, DreamHost, OnePlus, all of these are generally shared hosting. It's cheap, but you might have 1,000 other sites on the same computer that you're on. Any one of them gets busy, your site slows down. Any one of them gets hacked, your site gets hacked. So there's some issues doing that. It's cheap, but there's some issues. Now, that's only the serving. Now, you have to have somebody design the website, write the software, or install the software, and then you have to maintain it. So there's a lot going into a website. In general, unless you want to become an expert on web systems, it's better to go somewhere where they do it all for you, and they let you focus on your business. That's what you want to do. Squarespace is one of a number of companies that do this, and they're my favorite. They are a sponsor. That's a disclaimer, but they are my favorite. And the reason is they handle the servers. You don't have to think about it. And they do it very, very, very well. They also write the software that goes on top of it. It's one of the reasons those servers work so well is they control the whole kit and caboodle. You are just putting your stuff on their servers. But you own your stuff. You own your name. They help you with it, but at no point do you have some consultant who can run off. And that's what happens to so many people. They hire some guy. He's just some guy. And one day he gets tired, moves to Trinidad, and there goes your site. He's got the passwords, the keys. He knows everything. He probably, because, and it sounds like this is the case, he registered the domain name for you. So that means he owns that too. That's not so good. That's not so good. If you want to do commerce, there are solutions. Another one that's kind of more turnkey and even easier, there are companies that will do that, like Shopify, that will do your e-commerce solution. I think Squarespace is really good across the board. That's the one I'd probably use with your site. Be a lot easier. You don't want to be in the web serving business. You want to be in the whatever your business is. Wendy, Los Angeles, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well.
I have a question. We are going to, or I'm going to upgrade from my old regular, an old-fashioned phone. It's not a smartphone, and I'd like to get a smartphone.
I'm going to help you buy a smartphone when we come back right after this break. Stay here. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Chris Marquardt, the photo guy. He's at discoverthetopfloor.com. And we have talked off and on about professional-grade cameras. I was really amazed on my trip at how many people had Nikons and Canons with interchangeable lenses, what we call the digital SLRs. These are cameras that start at $800 or $900 and can go up by, you know, three or four times that. I saw a lot of them out in the field. I think a lot of people have gotten serious about photography, and right on. It's a great hobby. So Sony, though, has thrown a real monkey wrench into all of this. This week, Sony announced two new cameras in their Alpha series, the A7 and the A7R. They're essentially the same camera with a very minor difference. But what it is the first mirrorless. Now, most, I'm going to explain this, Chris, and then I'm going to ask you what you think. But, yes. But let me just run through this. Most digital SLRs, SLR stands for single lens reflex. And the idea is when you look through the viewfinder, you're actually looking through a mirror out through the lens. So you see exactly what the lens is seeing with an SLR. Then you press the button, the mirror has to pop up, that's that big chunk, take the picture, and then it pops back down again. Mirrors add a lot of bulk to a camera, a lot of complexity to a camera, they slow it down. It's a big deal. It's a as you might imagine, a mechanical engineering feat. Well, we're starting to see, and we've started to see a lot of mirrorless cameras. Instead of having optical views through the lens, they use a little video camera that takes a picture and sends that up to the viewfinder. So it's not quite as high a quality, but you still are seeing what the lens sees, but you're seeing a video of what the lens sees instead of optically what the lens sees. That does make the camera simpler, believe it or not, and it certainly makes it smaller. When we took our vacation, we took the Olympus OMD camera, which is a micro four thirds camera. This is probably the most common mirrorless format. But Sony's been making its own mirrorless cameras, the NEX line, that are very high quality. They have nice big sensors, bigger than the Micro Four Thirds, APS-C sensors. So what did Sony announce this week? They announced their Alpha line, which is their top-of-the-line cameras, will now have full-frame sensors. That means as big as these, you know, Canon 5Ds and the Nikon D3 and all of that, full-frame sensors. That's what pros want, and still mirrorless design, and people are going crazy. My friend Trey Ratcliffe, who's become a big mirrorless advocate, and he said he's trading everything in for the A7R. Michael Reichman at Luminous Landscape, another very famous landscape photographer, said this is the best camera ever. People are going crazy. Is this trouble for Nikon and Canon?
There's some potential for that. There's clearly some potential for
this
that.
This is interesting.
This is a huge, big thing.
What do you think?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Yes,
I hear
you,
but do you not hear me?
I do hear you, yes.
Oh, okay.
It is... It's finally at a point where we can take these big DSLRs and at least to a certain extent dump them, because that's one of the things that has stopped me to go for a mirrorless system is the sensor size. I'm a full format guy. I shoot bigger formats as well. So the size of a Micro Four Thirds sensor was one of the reasons, believe it or not, that kind of helped me back from going that direction. And now with the A7 and the A7R, I mean, we're talking decent pixel amounts, 24 megapixels and 36 megapixels. I'm not sure about sports shooting with the A7. We're talking 5 frames per second, and some sports shooters might need some more of that.
That's what I think maybe Michael Reichman or my friend Trey Ratcliffe said, if you're going to shoot sports or birds, you might want to stay with your Nikon.
With those, yeah.
But for a lot of other people, the reduced size, and he says, Trey says, it's the coming of computational photography.
Oh, there's a lot of that going on. I mean, especially with the camera with that. I mean, what you're looking at is the lens sitting really close to the sensor now. There's not much space between the lens and the sensor. So the angle of those light beams going into the corners of the sensor, they're pretty much at a very, very shallow angle. And that in turn will be a problem, or is a bit of a problem, because then those light beams get darker in the corner. So you get vignetting, you get these darkening of the corners. And there's a lot of computation going on to kind of counterbalance that and counterbalance the distortion in lenses and these kind of things. So there's a lot going on under the hood to make those pictures look really good.
Yeah, and one of the things that excited these high-end photographers is the fact that it can use Leica M series lenses. in many ways, it's like a Leica M camera with a Sony.
I mean, speaking of price, the Leica M9, that's a full-frame camera without a mirror.
$20,000?
But we're talking, not quite as much. But, well, with a decent lens, yeah, probably in that range. But with the A7R, we're talking, I think, $700 or $2,500.
Yeah, I think it's $2,300 in the U.S. Yeah.
Or $2,300, yeah. €2,100, euros, yes.
Yeah. I immediately, by the way, ordered it. It won't be out till December. But the sooner you order it, the sooner you can get in line for it.
One interesting thing they put in there is you have two different kinds of menus. If you're used to the next system, you can use the next menu. If you are used to Canon's SLRs, you can use a menu that's like their SLR. So in that sense, it's a bit like the current Windows, which is trying to be everything. But at least you have a choice there. The one thing I'm kind of a bit concerned about, I would love to use that as a street photography camera, because it's very inconspicuous.
So small,
and yeah, but apparently the shutter is really loud. Yeah. I'm not sure what's going on there. So
yeah, I read that too. Big click. It's not exactly
big
stealthy.
Big clunk, yes. Yeah. So yeah, we'll have to see for that. Maybe they come up with little blimps that you can put them in and then you can't hear them. I don't know.
I think the point really is that mirrorless full frame is what people have been waiting for. It really puts mirrorless on the map for pros.
I think it does, yes.
Serious amateurs. And if you've ever carried around a Nikon, well, a Canon 5D, or worse, a Nikon D3, these things are massive. They're heavy. They're big. They're totally conspicuous, especially with the lens on there. And so that's why we carried the OMD on our vacation. It didn't look like, first of all, you're not a target for getting ripped off. But
it
also
looks like an analog camera, right?
Yeah, it looks like you're some nitwit using an old film camera from 1962. Nobody looks at you. So I'm very excited about this. I think I do miss full frame. That's why the Micro Four Thirds was a little less than satisfying. So I'm excited about this. The camera's not cheap, I agree. That's $2,300 minus a lens. That's just the body.
Yes.
But the images I've seen with this thing are kind of mind-boggling.
You will be able to adapt a lot of bigger lenses to that. So if you have lots of Canon or Nikon lenses, you should be able to get adapters and use those lenses.
That's what they say, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you think this is a revolution?
At least a huge step forward. I mean, as you said, it puts that full-frame thing on the map for professionals, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm almost ready to click that buy button now.
Well, I figured I could click it and back out later, but I wanted to get in line.
It's true.
In fact, I am kind of talking to a lot of people saying, should I get it? Folks, if you wanted to join our little assignment, we don't care if you take it with a camera phone or a D3, whatever you shoot with. It's not the camera, it's the photographer, right? We would love to get your pictures. Not of last time it was loud, this time it's silent?
Silent.
Take a picture. We got a few more weeks for our assignment. It's not a contest. There's no prize. It's just an excuse to go out and take pictures. New pictures every week. Upload them to our Flickr group, the Tech Guy group on Flickr, using the keyword silence, so we can assign them. And Chris will pick three and look at them in a couple, 3 weeks maybe. Thank you, Chris Marquardt. DiscoverTheTopFloor.com. That's the place to go to find out about Chris and his podcast, The Tips from the Top Floor, and all of his fabulous, fabulous workshops. Always fun stuff going up to Everest. Can't wait. Maybe this summer we'll see you in the States. DiscoverTheTopFloor.com. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We're going to help buy a smartphone for Wendy right after this. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 888-ASK-LEO. 888-827-5536. That's the number Wendy called. Sorry to put you on hold there, Wendy. We wanted to do our photography segment, but I have not forgotten you. Wendy has a dumb old phone. We don't call them dumb phones.
Well,
we call them feature phones. I think dumb phone is a completely reasonable name for it because it just makes phone calls.
Right, that's all it does. And I don't need anything fancy, so I'm really looking. I'm not looking for a very fancy Samsung or all the fancy names. I just need a decent, inexpensive, entry-level smartphone.
And what is it that you like, or what appeals to you about the notion of a smartphone?
I would like to be able to have like a GPS on it to do my email,
to
take pictures.
Good.
And I'm sure my kids would probably like to play on it and probably get their own, but I'm going to start.
You're going to be the pioneer, the guinea pig. That changes things a little bit because it's nice to have all the same phone in the family because then you can buy apps and they can get them, things like that.
Right.
Because I would have said if it was just you in a vacuum, I would have said the Windows phone is probably a good choice for you. They have very good cameras. The reason I often don't recommend Windows Phone and people don't buy Windows Phone is because they don't have the rich range of applications available on iPhone and Android. Really, those are your three choices at this point. Is Apple, right. Android, as you mentioned, Samsung's the biggest name, but there are others, and Windows Phone, the Nokias, the Lumias. The Lumias are, and who's your carrier? I should ask that.
So I'm currently with Page Plus Cellular, and I was thinking of going to Metro PCS, and then I heard you mention Ting, so I don't know where I should go.
Okay. That's going to very much impact what phone you get, because you may not have the choice. So you have to first choose your carrier. That's the most important thing. Ting, who is a sponsor of our podcasts, runs on Sprint, so you should check first to see if Sprint has good coverage where you are. It's not the case that it's great everywhere.
Okay. I looked on there while I was on hold, and it said Los Angeles.
Yeah. Sprint's pretty good, I think, in L.A. area. So, I'd want you to test. So the problem with Ting is that you're going to get the phone in the mail. It's it'd be kind of nice. Metro PCS is also Sprint. So if Metro PCS works well, Ting will work well.
Okay.
So, but I want, if you could find a friend who has a Sprint phone and see how they like it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Page Plus is also, who does Page Plus run on? They might also
Verizon.
They run on Verizon. Okay.
Right.
And they have good good results for you?
I've had good results. The only thing I don't like about Page Plus is the customer service is lousy.
Yeah, they're all so bad. That's the one thing Ting really has going for it.
Right. That's important.
Yeah. So Ting will use any phone that works on Sprint. They do cell phones. Now, Ting doesn't subsidize. So one of the things that happens nowadays is you get these phones for 100 or 200 bucks with 2-year contract. And what you're really doing is you're paying for the phone over 2 years. But it seems like the phone's cheaper. Ting isn't putting you under contract.
Right.
So you pay the full freight. And that can sometimes stop people in their tracks.
Right.
That's what? Why I didn't $500? $600? Right. Yeah. Whoa.
Right.
So
my old phone has been fine. So that's why I figure I don't need to spend $500 on a phone. But maybe there's an inexpensive smartphone you could recommend.
Actually, somebody just told me Metro PCS uses T-Mobile's network. I thought they were on a Sprint network.
Oh, okay. That sounds familiar.
Yeah, that might be. So you got, and nowadays I always tell people buy the network first because you want to make sure you have coverage in your home, in your office, where you go. You want to make sure.
Okay.
You know, that's the most important thing. And then decide on the phone. You do it the other way around, you might be sorry.
Okay.
Android phones I like a lot, but I think might be overcomplicated for you. The iPhone is always a good choice, but none of these carriers carry an iPhone, so you may not have that option unless you go with one of the big four.
Fine.
And they're also, these are all very expensive, too.
Right. I'm paying $50 a month right now for Page Plus.
That's a good deal.
Yeah. And I don't use the internet. I don't use, you know, data. I don't, you know, I don't even understand what data is. I just need.
Well, when you do some of the things you've just been talking about, that's data. Email's data.
Oh, okay.
GPS pulls down maps via data. The GPS itself is not data, but if you want it, if you want to know more than just your coordinates, if you want to see it on a map, that uses data.
Got it.
So data is anything that uses that you would say is internet based, which is web surfing, email, maps, that kind of thing. And so you will use more data than you might think. But you're right. You're probably not going to be a data hog yet.
Yes.
I'm looking at the devices on Ting to see. I'm sure they have a Windows phone. I just haven't. They have the 8. Yeah, you know what? Here's a good choice.
Okay.
They have the HTC 8XT, which is a very nice phone, for $348. That's a good. That's as low as you're going to go, I think.
Okay.
If you're buying a smartphone outright.
All right.
They do have used phones if that's still too much, but that's an excellent Windows phone. Windows phone is a very good first smartphone. It's very intuitive, very easy to use.
Okay, fine.
So I would go with the HTC 8XT. Your kids might even like it. The problem with kids is, how old are your kids?
My youngest is 16.
Yeah. They have their own opinions. You know, your kid's going to say, well, but there's no Instagram on that, and I want to use Instagram.
Right. He's not going to get Instagram. They're not.
All right. Well, in that case, get a Windows phone. You're in good shape.
Okay, fine.
I think that's a good choice. If they
AXT?
HTC is the company.
Right.
And it's the 8XT.
Okay. A is an Apple.
Yep.
Okay.
And if you use techguy.gizwiz.com, it's $25 off. So then that gets a pretty good price. That gets it down to $348. I think that's, for a smartphone, that's about as good as you're going to get.
Terrific. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Let me, you know what? Call back in a couple of months after you've used it for a while.
Let me know
what you think.
Okay, I will.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. All righty. Bye-bye.
I'm not implying that you're an experiment, but you are. It's hard to, you know, people are probably baffled by my recommendations because it's always different. But I try to, you know, tailor it to the person and to their needs. If it's your first smartphone, you're not going to look at the Windows phone and say, well, golly, I don't understand why there's no Instagram here, because you've never had Instagram. But if you're coming from an iPhone or an Android phone, a Windows phone, as I do and many do, you're definitely going to feel the lack of certain apps. But the nice thing is Windows Phone's interface is very straightforward, very easy to use, very friendly. So I think a lot of people who are going to their first smartphone, that's a great choice. I really do. Michelle, Thousand Oaks. Hi, Michelle. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very frustrated.
You're a photographer.
Well, you know, I'm in my 70s, and I started it when I retired.
What a great hobby, though, isn't it?
Loved it. Started with Canon, had the Mark II.
Oh, you're serious.
Had a bad spell there, 2 unexpected surgeries last year.
Oh. So
that was a wash. Then my son was here, and he convinced me to buy the Olympus.
Okay. Because it's a little smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah, easier to carry.
The lens.
Yeah. I like my Olympus. I use an OMD, and I'm very happy with it.
I have that one, too.
Yeah.
But I'm disappointed with the lens.
Well, it's not the lens. You've gone from a full-frame sensor, this is what we were talking about, to a much smaller, a Micro Four Thirds sensor, so you don't get the depth of field that you used to. You know, one of the great things that makes a pro look like a pro is the foreground's in focus and the background's nice and soft and fuzzy. You just don't get that on the smaller sensors. Hey, hang on. We got to take a break for local news, Michelle, but I want to help you with your problem right after this. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy, talking high tech, computers, the internet, cell phones, camcorders, home theater, and of course, photography. We've been talking with Michelle. Her hobby, and it's a pretty serious hobby, is photography. Has a Canon 5D Mark II. Son talked her into an Olympus OMD. You know, I have both, Michelle.
I had to trade one in for the other.
Oh, yes, it's nice if you can have both, because then when you want a light camera, you've got the OMD, but when you want that great depth of field, that richness.
I got it by my son, so I'm really regretful, because it actually falls into the subject that I initially called on, which is he talked me into an iMac. I had an...
You got to stop listening to your son.
I know.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Loved my MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
The big screen.
Yeah.
And all the memory.
Yeah.
And then he talked me into an iMac sitting in my little tiny office. And then I have the Mac AirBook that can, no, I mean, I have external hard drive. So I'm being driven a little insane as everybody is dropping their size.
Yeah, and that may be the wave of the future. At least Apple continues to make the iMac. I think the MacBook Pro Retina display is a very good choice for photographers because the display is so gorgeous. But you know, with the iMac, you've got a lot of screen real estate. Don't you like that?
Yeah, I do. But then I put all my photography on the Mac AirBook, but I put it on an external hard drive.
Yeah, because the MacBook Air doesn't have a lot of storage. It's very fast.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean much to me because I primarily use it
right
for the photography.
So did you trade in your iMac for the MacBook Air?
No, I have both.
You have both. Okay.
So,
I would stick with the iMac for most of what you do if you don't mind sitting in your office. But you want, I gather you like to get out of there.
Yeah, it's a very confining because I do, you know, any paperwork and.
Yeah, who wants to sit in a little closet?
Exactly. Well, not quite that small, but it is small.
So what can I do to help you? It sounds like you've got, this is a very common problem, by the way. Kind of technology overload.
Right. And I just don't see where anyone's going to have a portable larger screen.
No. In fact, Apple discontinued the 17-inch MacBooks. The biggest you're going to be able to get is 15 inches.
Right.
But you can always, with all of the MacBooks, including your Air, get a large external display. Apple's cinema displays are 27 inches, and you just plug it. In fact, it works very nicely with the MacBook Air. You just plug it in. You keep the Air closed, and it's like you have a desktop computer. What I do, and this might be a solution for you, is to get a keyboard. You already have it, so you don't have to get it. But if you get a Bluetooth keyboard and mouse or trackpad.
I've not used a mouse in years.
You don't like the mouse. You like the trackpad, then.
Yeah.
So you already have it. And now you get the 27-inch display. You could sell your iMac. When you go to your office, you plug in the MacBook Air. It just snaps into the connectors, is powered by the display. It automatically hooks up to the display. The display becomes your computer. It's as if you have a desktop. You're working along on the 27-inch display. Then you decide you want to go sit in the living room. You take it off and you go with you, and everything's still there. Nothing's changed. That's actually what I do.
Yeah, but where's all the memory?
Well, that's a problem. If you have external drives, you have to drag them along with you. Here's how I solve that as a photographer. Here's how I solved that as a photographer, because I wanted to bring my MacBook Air to on my travels. I was gone for 3 weeks. So what I did is I only put this year's pictures on that. Everything else is on an external drive backed up. You only work with the most recent pictures in most cases. So use the MacBook Air has enough room for the current stuff. Maybe for you it wouldn't be this year. It might be this half year or this quarter. And then once you're done messing with those, you've posted them, you've got them done, printed them, whatever it is that you do, back them up onto that external drive. But those, you no longer have to have the external drive. Use the Air has enough storage for the current stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Because actually, I have everything on the external hard drive.
Yeah. So don't. Keep just this. Like, I keep 2013. What do you use? Use Aperture, iPhoto? What do you use for your photos?
I use Photoshop, trying to get into Lightroom.
Yeah, Lightroom's great, but if you just use Photoshop, that's fine. Keep your 2013 folder on your MacBook Air. That's what I do. When 2014 comes, I'll move it all off onto the external because I'll say, well, I'm done with those pictures.
Yeah,
and
right.
I'll start a new folder, 2014, and that's what I'll have. That way you can carry it around with you. Everything you have that you want to work on is there. The idea is that you have kind of three levels of storage. You have online, which is on your computer. Nearline, which is an external drive you can hook up to your computer. And an offline, something like Carbonite or external drives that you put in the closet or you give your son so it's off-site. So those three levels of storage are very useful, and photographers use these all the time. The online storage should only be the stuff you want to work on today. That's why you don't need a lot of storage if you, on a MacBook Air, because it's just the stuff you want to work on today. Move anything you're no longer working on, but is recent, maybe in the last couple of years, onto your nearline storage, your external drive. That way, if you want it, well, you just plug it in and you've got it. And then the stuff that's more than a few years old, just move it to offline storage because it's backup now. And that way you kind of have the best of all worlds. You're still portable. You can move around. You can go out in the living room if you want, work on your photos, because I don't want to have to sit in the desk to work on my photos. And you can travel with it and so forth. I think it's a great way to go. So that's what I would recommend. You kind of have to start to manage your storage on these new devices. I love the MacBook Air. I mean, I love the fact that it's so fast and so light and so portable. But it's really, you know, I can't remember. I think I got a little bit of a larger drive. I think I got a 256 gig drive in here. But, you know, the base model has 128 gigs. Even that's plenty. If you just put the stuff, you don't work on, nobody works on 100 gigs worth of data right now. Unless you're managing some massive database or something. I took 1,600 pictures on our last three-week trip. That's no more than maybe 20 gigabytes. So I could keep that on here and have it. I think that's the best way to go. Jim in Ridgecrest, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Leo. Jim. Yeah, listen, I'm also a photographer.
Okay.
And I'll go your last caller even one better. I just came back from 2 weeks in France on two different river cruises.
Oh.
And my computer was a Galaxy Note.
What? You took that little phablet along with you, huh? It's a phone.
That's all I took.
And how did that work? Did you bring your cameras too?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a Pentax K20D.
But you did. Oh, I love the K20. What a great camera that was.
Yeah.
So now the disadvantage of that is you're not going to work with your photos on Note, or are
no,
you?
No, I just used it for backing up and to share among friends and viewing, stuff
right.
like that. I used to drag a notebook around with me, but that was just too much.
Well, here's the thing. You can take your camera pictures, move some of them onto the Note using a little SD card slot or an adapter.
Exactly.
And then you can show friends, hey, look what I took last night. That's a great idea.
Yeah, we did that, and I didn't have to drag a tablet around. Some of our friends had big tablets. They wouldn't take them on walks out in the daytime.
Which Note were you using?
I have the original that I got on the introduction day in the U.S., February 19th.
I am a Note fan. The original was 5 inches.
Yeah.
Then the Note 2 came out, and I think that was 5.3.
5.5.
The 5.5.
5.3.
Then 5.5. Okay.
Yeah, and that's why I'm calling. I want to get a 3. But I've read some bad stuff about it.
It's 5.7 inches.
Oh, it's a great display.
And the display is better because it's now 1080p instead of 720. So,
And it's not quite so pentile-ish. And they have
it's beautiful.
Photo mode that might get rid of that oversaturation.
Yes. Hang on. We'll talk a little bit about it when we come back. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We're talking with Jim in Ridgecrest. He's been looking. He uses a Note 1. This is the Galaxy Note. It's an unusual phone because it's so big. The new one is 5.7 inches. It's almost a tablet. Although, I got to say, Jim, they've shrunk the frame, the bezel around it so much that it's actually, the Note 3 is actually thinner and smaller, even lighter than the Note 2.
Yes, I've seen it.
Despite the fact that it's bigger, 5.7 inches, higher res, great battery life. I think it's a 3,200 milliamp hour battery. I was able to get 2 days easy out of it. Nice stylus. The S Pen, it's even better. They have a hover functionality. They've improved. In every respect, I feel like it's improved with one exception. I don't like all the Samsung software now.
I can get along with that. I can even ignore that.
Yeah. I mean, well, for instance, you launch the camera and it's got everything. I mean, you know, it's got all these different it's got a golf swing mode.
Yeah.
That's a little, to me, that's too much.
It took me a while to get my camera the way I wanted it.
Yeah. So, but you're right. If you can live with TouchWiz, which is what Samsung calls their, you know, stuff on top, it's worse than it was in the Note 1. I mean, it's really, there's a lot of it.
Yeah, it is intrusive. Well, I actually had one in my hands, and I played with it a little bit. But the problem, of course, is it's not like when you have one even for a few days.
No, you need to, and then when I review phones, I try to have them for at least 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I try to use it as my only phone because it's the only way to know, right?
And so how'd it go?
I liked it a lot. I was really impressed with the battery life. Mm-hmm. The screen is stunning. You're right. They now have four modes. Mm-hmm. They have an auto mode. I left it in auto. These screens are OLED, which means they can be a little garish, as you know. And if you're a photographer, sometimes the colors are off.
You know, the crazy thing was two of our friends along on the trip had iPhones, and they saw mine, and they said, the color is wonderful.
Because it's more vivid.
Well, I couldn't help but observe that probably their TVs at home are still in store mode.
Exactly. It's not more accurate. It's more vivid. And some people like that. And truthfully, if it's just for a phone, that's fine. But when you're looking at photos, obviously accuracy is important. They do have a movie mode now, which I think gives you fairly accurate color. It's not, you know what, it's probably not as good as Apple's IPS LCD screen, which is probably more accurate.
Well, what about some of their early rollout problems? Did you read the Ars Technica article?
What did they say?
Well, I think it was a hit piece, to be honest. I've been following them for years.
Gosh, I like ours.
I know. And the guy thought it was just botched in so many ways.
Well, the only botching, and I agree with this, is this Samsung continues to lard features onto their phones, and I wish they wouldn't.
Yeah.
If they made a Google Edition pure Android Note 3, I would recommend it without hesitation.
Yeah. And the other thing I didn't mention is my carrier is AT&T, and I love them. Still have unlimited data.
Good.
But I know there are issues with them. But my point is, I'm going to buy this through them because then if I have any problems, I've been in computers for a long time, but I still want to go back and say, look, guys, fix it.
Yeah.
But my Note has been wonderful.
If you're happy with your Note 1 and you understand that Samsung has put more of the Samsung stuff into the Note 3, well, I think you'll be happy in every other respect. The screen is far better.
And what I love about Android, I'm a Linux guy. What I love about Android is that I can control it. I can do anything I want on there. I can get anything, and I can get rid of most stuff, or at least ignore it.
What mostly I think ours was mad about with the Note 3, as I remember, was that Samsung tunes their performance to look better in benchmarks.
Yeah.
This is an old story that's gone on for years. One of the reasons I don't like benchmarks is these are synthetic programs that you run on a phone to see how fast it is. And, of course, the manufacturers of the phone can and often do look for the benchmark software and then say, oh, good, we're going to optimize for it. And it makes them look 20 or 30% better. But you know what? A benchmark's meaningless to me. Try it. If it feels fast enough, it is fast enough.
I would agree with you. Yeah. And by the way, big fan. A ham, photographer. I used to be in broadcasting.
You're a man after my own heart. Linux user. I love it, Joe.
Yeah, well, listen, Linux desktop, that's a tough world to be in.
It is. I don't know if Linux will ever be big on the desktop, but, you know, people have mocked Linux for years, a free operating system invented by Finnish graduate student Linus Torvalds in 1992. But what they forget is it is now probably the most used operating system in the world, thanks to Android, which runs on Linux.
Yeah. My biggest gripe are some of the apps. Oh, I've had my share of trouble with Office.
Yeah, I try to use Linux desktop all the time, and it's not for real people because too much tweaking involved.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm basically in that world a business user, and they don't understand business users.
Even Microsoft Ubuntu, does. Even Ubuntu, which really is the best attempt yet at a desktop Linux. No, I agree with you, and you don't hear me recommend Linux for most people on the show because it's just I don't want them to call me back say, hey, I upgraded and now my Chrome doesn't work anymore, and I have to say to them, oh yeah, there's a dependency, they deleted a library file, you need to download, compile, and install this library for Chrome to work.
By the way, I almost bought a Chromebook for this last trip. That would have been a huge mistake because France has gone to two-part authentication on all the Wi-Fi I could
that's
find.
Interesting.
And they disconnect you with regularity, so you have to keep you know going through all that stuff. Where you know most other places, once you log on, and by the way, all their Wi-Fi I found was open, so there's no problem connecting.
It's just this authentication. Hey, let me ask you that. So you're on a river trip. You can use the Wi-Fi as you go?
Yeah. Oh, no, on the ship.
You have to wait till you land.
No, the ship had their own satellite.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which had its own set of problems.
I always wonder, because you're on a river cruise, you're right next to the land.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I hadn't been over there for a while. Last trip was 3 years ago to Greece, where we found Wi-Fi everywhere.
Right.
But this time, I was amazed. Even in Paris, I would occasionally turn the phone on and use one of the Wi-Fi sniffer apps, and I would only find maybe 5 or 6 hotspots. They seem to be dominated by the telcos.
Right. That's actually what's happened all over the world.
They have this game where send us your, we'll send you a text message with your creds in it. Yeah. And of course, I don't have that, and I did not have voice activated at all, even though I could have. I did buy some data.
I tried to
exist on Wi-Fi alone.
How'd that work out?
If I had had solid Wi-Fi, it would have been terrific.
Yeah.
I also use, I can't think of it, Obihi and Google
Love
Voice.
Obihi. Yeah.
And in the States, wherever I have decent Wi-Fi, that works perfectly. And I have to give you...
Wait a minute, you took your Obihi to Europe?
No, I have it at home as a...
Yeah, I was going to say, you could if you had decent internet, you could use the Obihi, I guess.
No, you recommended that, and I thought, it's cheap, I'll give it a try, and I love it.
Yeah.
But my problem there is I didn't have enough bandwidth to make it work.
Right. Hey, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
Stay in touch, Joe.
Okay,
I appreciate
thanks.
It.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, Obihi is a really interesting solution that lets you use Google Voice as your home phone for free. Very. OBIHAI.com. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. What is that? What is that smell? Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Nathan Staten, our musical director. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. Back to the phones we go. Joe in Seal Beach is next. Hi, Joe. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Good afternoon. Thank you for being there. We appreciate it. We now know the difference between a pixel and a hockey puck. That's my wife and I.
That's my job.
Honest to God, you've been a gem. We get together and listen to you like an uncle on the week.
Oh, isn't that sweet? Well, what's your wife's name?
Well, Samantha, I'm sure she's listening at home. And
hi, Samantha. Hi, Joe. Hey.
And that brings me to my point. I'm the one in the family that panics. My wife does just the opposite.
Yeah.
But a while back, my wife was in college, decided to do something fun to take her mind off it. Started a website, littleferrarokitchen.com.
Oh, neat. Now, wait a minute. Give me the website again.
Littleferrarokitchen.com.
Is it F-E-R-R-A-R-O?
Yes, sir.
Kitchen.com. All right.
And now she did this because she loves to cook, and I love to eat, and I'm also in the food and beverage industry. In fact, she's taking cooking classes in Istanbul in about 3 weeks.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Yeah, I know. And so I panicked a short while ago when you were talking about who owns the website. Is it really ours? I wouldn't even know what questions to ask the person that put our website together. So,
well, let me scroll down to the bottom.
Okay.
Copyright. By the way, this is not a correct copyright message. It lacks the day or the year, rather. Copyright, the Little Ferraro Kitchen, and then a dash, and then Silhouette Graphics, misspelled, GRPAHIC. So that doesn't give me, they spelled Silhouette right, but there's a little typo in graphic. That doesn't give me a huge amount of confidence. They're the people who did the site for you?
Yes, the girl that did it is, she's always around when we need her. And
oh, that's good.
But again, if she moves to Aruba, does our website...
Here's what you want. You want the keys to the kingdom, okay?
Yes,
so,
sir, we do.
While Kitta is being a nice person, which she is apparently, and she is a good web designer. I like her own, her personal site is gorgeous. So do you know who hosts it?
Not a clue. I should. See, we're so busy worrying about all the stuff.
Yeah, as you should be. Why should you worry about the web design? That's not, you don't want to be a web expert. You want to be a content expert.
Yeah, yeah.
So what you want to ask her is this a WordPress site? I think it is, but I don't know for sure.
I've heard that before. I believe it is also.
Okay. In fact, one way to tell is to take the address of your site and type /WPADMIN and see if we get a WordPress login on the site. And yes, we do. So, okay.
Yay.
So that is a WordPress site. By the way, that's a security hole. Shouldn't feel too bad about that because I did the same thing with healthexchange.org, the government's health exchange site, and also got the WordPress login. That should not happen, but it does a lot of the times. So anyway, now we know you have a WordPress site, and so does any bad guy who's got the sense to type that in.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing you want to know is, where is it hosted?
Okay.
And who's paying for the hosting? Do you get a check?
We pay a monthly or a yearly or something, but it's not a lot. It's cheap.
Yeah, yeah. So, but you want to know that that's in your name, not hers. Because if Kitta decides to go to St. Kitts, you want to be able to call the hosting company and say, hey, this is Joe and Samantha. We're good, right? And the hosting company says, yeah, you still pay the bills, so you're good. You don't want Kitta. You don't want to pay Kitta, who then pays them. Because if Kitta goes away, how do you get your site, right?
Wow.
Yeah. So the other thing you want to do is check who owns littleferrarokitchen.com. Now, you can do that with a who is. I'm going to do it right now for you. Who is a lookup. You can go to whois.net. A lot of places you can go. And you type in your URL, your domain name, littleferrarokitchen.com, and you see who owns it. And I'm going to see who owns this right now. We're going to just check real quickly here. It's owned by, it's registered with GoDaddy, so that's good news. It means probably your website is hosted at GoDaddy.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to know who the administrative contact address is, and it seems like it's private. Okay. So you might want to go call GoDaddy and say.
Eventually, we want to buy this. I mean, I kind of always thought we did. We already owned it, but you should kind of own it.
You should own it.
Yeah,
so
okay.
You probably could just go to Kitta and say, hey, Kitta, you know, we're just a little concerned if you decided to get into another line of business that we'd be out of luck. So would you mind if you just give us the keys? You can continue to operate it, but we'd like to pay GoDaddy directly. Do you write checks to GoDaddy?
Not sure where the check goes.
Okay, find out. If you're writing a check to GoDaddy, then you're good. Because you can call GoDaddy and say, hey, I'm the guy who writes the checks. And they'll say, yes, you are, sir. But if you're writing a check to Kitta and she disappears, GoDaddy has no idea who you are.
Sure. And even with GoDaddy, can't somebody come along and just say, okay, we want to buy it?
No.
But they can't. Okay.
No. I mean, you're good there.
Okay.
But given that it sounds like Kitta, your web designer, registered your domain name, it may be registered in her name. This is not unusual. They don't want to bother you with all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
But if it's in her name, you heard our caller who said, now I have to figure out how to get it back.
That's why I panicked.
Yeah. So you say, hey, Kitta, what if you're hit by a bus? What are we going to do? And would you mind if we had access to GoDaddy and the GoDaddy account? Would you mind if we put the domain name registration in our name? She's going to say, oh, yeah, you know, I did that because I didn't want to bug you with it. But if you want to take that trouble, go ahead. She should say that. You might also tell her to spell graphics at the at the bottom of your website. Just fix that.
Wonderful. And I'm glad you were talking about photos, too, because my wife does every photograph on that. She went from taking a picture, you know, with a small camera to now she's got a Lightroom set up and all the background stuff. Absolutely took something and turned it into something amazing. I'm so proud of her.
Oh, isn't that great? Chatroom, by the way, has done a little research, and they say GoDaddy is the registrar. They don't host it. It's hosted by, based on the IP address, a company called Bluehost. Does that ring a bell?
Yes, it does.
Okay. That's probably who you're sending checks to.
Yes, I believe it is, yes.
Okay, so that's good. So you could always call Bluehost and say, hey, this is mine. That's good. And then you just want to say, could you transfer the domain registration? If it's in your name, Kitta, could you transfer it to our name? And she can do that with GoDaddy.
Understood.
All right.
Excellent. Thank
Nothing
you
to
so
worry
much.
About. Nice so site. Bad. I like it. Little Ferraro Kitchen. That's cute.
We love it.
All right.
It's amazing. Thank you so much for being there.
Tell Samantha, have fun in Istanbul. It's one of the most amazing cities in the world. Fabulous city. Be fun to cook there because it's such an interesting, kind of amalgam of Eastern and Western and a variety. Really, really cool stuff. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask. Leo, Aiden in Riverside, you're next. Hi, Aiden.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello. Hi. I was wondering what is the best stop motion animation camera and or program?
Oh, do you do stop motion movies?
Yes.
Awesome.
It is one of my favorite hobbies.
What are you using right now?
I am using Stop Motion Studio for Apple devices.
Mm. All right. And what camera do you use with that?
My iPod.
Oh, we need to get you a better camera. That's not a very good camera. Yeah. Is it? Yeah. So as Stop Motion Studio, well, it's free right now. That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of iStop Motion. I know the guys at Boinks, and I like that. So let's see. So it's designed to run on your iPod Touch and use the iPod Touch's camera. So that's kind of, you're going to be kind of stuck with that while you use this software, right?
Yeah.
But you can always do stop motion more professionally with a bigger, better camera. Let me talk a little bit about that when we come back. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, talking high tech. We were talking to Aiden in Riverside, who does stop motion movies. You put them on YouTube, Aiden?
Not yet. They're not the best.
You're working your way up, though. The next Spielberg. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, you can use any camera to do stop motion. The key is, of course, locking it down. You're probably already doing that with your iPod Touch.
Yeah.
And then there's stop motion software. Do you have a computer?
Yes, I do.
Mac or Windows?
Windows.
All right. I don't remember what the chat room is going to tell me what the best stop motion software is on Windows, but that's the better way to do it. Instead of you know, the touch is fine for getting started, kind of understanding and so forth. But eventually, and you can buy a used, you know, DSLR or used point and shoot. And you take a picture, you move it, you take a picture, you move it, you import the pictures into your software on your desktop, and then you make a movie out of it. It's very similar to what you're already doing.
Yeah.
The only difference is you can do it by hand. There is software that will control the camera as well. Chat room's telling me Animator HD on Windows is free and very good. Animator HD.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I think this is good. I want to encourage you, and you should tell mom and dad, hey, this is your retirement plan. I'm going to be the next Steven Spielberg. So you should really help me with my stop motion career.
Aiden.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Aiden. Great to talk to you. Rocky Hawthorne, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Rocky.
Hi, Leo. Listen, thanks so much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I am having so much trouble. The last 4 days, I've been trying to get my computer back to its original configuration, and I've been loading the updates, like you said, and I went and bought the Nod 32, and it's not updating everything.
It sounds like something's wrong on your computer. You know, when bad guys get malware on a system, the first thing they do is block updates.
Uh-huh.
I would like, is there a reason you decided to do all this? Did you have some suspicions?
Well, yeah, my computer was really getting whacked out. And the first time that I tried it, I really did something wrong. And I couldn't even get on the net because of all the pop-ups.
Yeah. We want to get this. So do you have, by any chance, the disks that came with the computer that would let you reinstall?
I tried that.
What happened?
And that's where I am right now.
Okay. What you want to do is make sure that you're doing a clean install, that you're wiping off the hard drive. Now, if you've got data, I want you to back it up first.
Right.
Get your documents and stuff and save those to an external hard drive or a USB key or something. But then when you do the recovery with those recovery disks, choose to wipe the hard drive first. You want to erase it.
How do you do that?
Well, there'll either be an option to do that or I'm not sure whose computer is it?
An old HP with Vista.
HP. Okay, with Vista.
And this, I got the second hand.
Okay, but you do have the HP recovery disks.
The ones that were on the hard drive.
Good. And when you run them, I'm not sure, but you want to look for, maybe it says press O for options or something like that.
You know, I didn't see anything like that. I even tried to use a software program to wipe the hard drive clean first.
Oh, good, yeah.
It didn't work.
It didn't work.
No, it didn't.
Because if you wipe off the drive completely and then restore, it should get you back to the day the computer came from the factory.
Well, I get an error code of 8004 Fs.
It's not working, probably.
Obviously.
Yeah, it's not completing.
Okay, well, I'll try again.
We're going to put in the show notes a link to a website called howtogeek.com, and it's how to reinstall Windows on your computer. It's a very nice tutorial that somebody in the chat room, You Don't Know Me is his name, put the link up there. So let's put that in the show notes. You can check that. The ideal would be to kind of reinstall this fresh.
Again?
And start from scratch, then run Windows Update till it's done. So that you have every update on there. Let's see what that 8,000...
You know, it took some of the updates, and I was even able to get Service Pack 1 on, but then there's about 80 important updates that it just won't
take. This error that you're getting is a bad error. It means something's blocking the updates.
Ah.
And I don't think that sounds... I think that sounds like there's an issue. Maybe there is a fix-it button. You know what? I'm going to put a link to this. There is a fix-it button because it's the registry that's blocking this. So Microsoft has a little fix-it that will undo that. That might help.
You know, when I've gone to the help thing, it says to go on the internet to get find.
But you can't get online. You can't get online, can you?
I haven't.
Yeah. Yeah. So there is a Microsoft help file that says Windows Update Error 8000 FFFFF. Here's what you do. Click this button and it will fix it.
I tried to do something like that, and it came up with Windows Update Diagnostic.diag.
Yeah. You know, you might have to bring this to a friendly tech guy. I hate to say it. They'll have a disk that can do this. And kind of force it through. If you start completely from scratch, you know you've eliminated the malware, then you can restore your data. And I really want you to do that. If you're seeing pop-ups and weird behavior, you probably have malware. One of the things bad guys do is they prevent you to update. They don't want you to do any updates, right? Because that would block their entry to your computer. So, you've done what you can by yourself. If you could find somebody, a local expert, maybe go to your local JC and ask for somebody in the computer department, or say, I'll pay you, kid. Hey, kid, come here. I'll pay you $100. Fix this, or go to a good computer store. They're going to be able to fix this for you, and I think you really do want to get this fixed. There's no reason to throw the computer out. I'm sure you'll be able to fix this. One of the nice things about Windows 8 that I think they've done really well is there is a command to just fix it, to start over, and that's nice. That's a command all computers should have. Just restart, as if I didn't own you. And I've done that, and it works very well on Windows 8. Somebody in the chat room says Lady Gaga's Twitter was hacked, and then she wonders. She asks, "Are any of us safe?" Most of us are, Lady Gaga. Just because you got hacked, maybe she feels like I have the best security anywhere. I don't know. Are any of us safe?
Twitter will take care of me because of who I am.
You know, I can't recommend Lady Gaga's Twitter feed.
Yeah, thank you.
Apparently, prominently, this is not. Oh, okay, this is the hacked part. I get it. Lady Gaga is a reductive Madonna copy. She's over now, tweets Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga is fat now, tweets Lady Gaga. No, I would say she was hacked. Yeah, but what's odd is she doesn't apparently seem to know how to take it back.
What's odd is people spend so much time to be so stupid and cruel.
I know. Come on, grow up.
Get a hobby.
Get a life. You would never do that, Heather Hammond.
I don't got time.
I ain't got time for this. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. I can't believe how fast the day goes. But thank you, Heather Hammond, for answering the calls. Nathan Staton, our great musical director. Our website is techguylabs.com. James DeRuvo, Josh Windisch, keep track of that. Thank you for being here. I'll be back next time. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows and Windows Weekly, Macintosh and MacBreak Weekly, iPad and iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.